I am very honored and grateful to have an opportunity to serve you this evening in this very holy and historical land of Udupi. Special welcome to my dear godbrother Tejas Prabhu. A very dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada, whom Srila Prabhupada entrusted incredible responsibilities to, especially in his early days of trying to establish Krishna consciousness movement in India. He was president of Delhi Temple. He was very much a leader of the financing for the Vrindavan Temple. And he's also was instructed by Srila Prabhupada very intimately in the development of farm communities and so many other things as well. We are very grateful that you are here. Yesterday, Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, we heard very heart-fulfilling, educating offerings. His Holiness Vishvesh Tirtha Maharaj of the Pejavar Math, who is the senior most acharya for the whole Madhva Sampradaya. He spoke with such genuine appreciation for Srila Prabhupada's life, his example, and his accomplishments. We heard from His Holiness Chandramali Swami Maharaj and Mother Kamagiri and Narataki Devi. And for the first time, for many of you, you heard just a little drop from the ocean of the story of Mandakini Devi. The concept of surrender is something very deep. It is not just a theoretical exercise. It is not just a way of speaking. It's the actual will to submit your life for the pleasure of our beloved Lord and his representatives. So Mandakini Devi, you heard her story. She was a pujari for the first large deities ever installed in ISKCON, Sri Sri Radha London Ishwar in London. It was in the 1960s. She was worshiping the deities. And she prayed to Radha Landanishwar that Prabhupada would give her an instruction that she could surrender her life to. This is actual puja. When we please Krishna, his blessing is not what we could get from him. But for a devotee, Krishna's greatest blessing is he inspires us to serve unconditionally. So she asked for a challenging service, and she prayed for the power to say yes. After Srila Prabhupada came from Moscow with Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Aravinda Prabhu, where he was very much confined and given practically no facility to reach out to the people. But he did meet one Russian boy that was brought to his room by Shyam Sundar Prabhu. This is how great people see positive opportunities. It took him tremendous efforts to get that visa to get to Russia. And when he came, he wasn't even allowed to speak to any of the students. The only person he was allowed to speak to was a professor who was a staunch atheist, who didn't believe in God at all. And Prabhupada really couldn't convince him of the existence of God either. That was it. He went all the way to Russia, and it's great risk too. During the communist regime, the Iron Curtain, it wasn't a safe place. He was in a little room in a little hotel. He was allowed to go on some tours under KGB surveillance, and wasn't given the right to speak to anyone. So he was just sitting in his room. And Shyam Sundar just brought one boy. He was a pretty wild young man too. Srila Prabhupada just saw this one little spark and understood if he fanned it, it could set the entire Soviet Union on fire with Krishna consciousness. Similarly, when he was in New York City, you know, he met just one or two people who were hardly even spiritually serious, but he saw the spark in them. And through those few people, he established an international society. So it's the tendency of ordinary conditioned souls to see the external circumstances and become either elated or depressed by either one. But a devotee simply sees the opportunity to serve. And in every situation, there's an opportunity to serve. Whatever the result may be externally is in Krishna's hands. Pritrasura, in the 6th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, in his previous birth, he was Chitraketu. Chitraketu, he had his experience in this world. He was a king. And everything was going so well, but he didn't have a son. Just like if you have a perfectly healthy body and you step on a thorn, do you think about, oh, my finger feels so nice and my head feels so nice and there's a cool breeze? All you think about is that thorn. And in relation to your whole body, the thorn only occupies maybe 1/10 of an inch, which is maybe 1/1000th of the size of your body. But yet your whole focus is only on that. So that was Chitraketu Maharaja's condition. He couldn't enjoy anything in life without a son. And then by the blessings of great saints, he got a son. His name was Harsha Shok, which means one who gives pleasure and pain. But what happened? The queens that were not the mother of the son saw how much affection he was giving to the mother, and they became envious. They were obviously very pious, nice people. Chitraketu was a very saintly, noble man. He wouldn't marry demonesses. He married people from very good character and high families and nice qualities. But situations in this world could make good people bad and bad people good. And bhakti is about overcoming these tendencies of external influences by focusing on that higher principle where in every situation we become better and better. So they killed the baby. Like Kaikeyi, who loved Ram practically as much as Kausalya. But due to the influence of Mantara, she turned against him. She wanted to destroy him. So those selfish, we all have our higher nature and lower nature. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj used to say, the good dog and the bad dog. Bhagavad Gita tells about the divine and demoniac nature, our higher self and our lower self. And according to the association we choose to keep, and according to the type of spiritual practices that we gain strength from, we could actually, in every situation, choose to nourish our divine nature and neglect our demoniac nature. So Chitraketu was devastated. But Narada Muni came and brought the child back to life. And the child spoke to the father, which father are you? I've had so many fathers. And I've had so many mothers. I'm an eternal soul. I'm on my journey just as you are. And the little baby enlightened his father. And then he said goodbye and died again. The soul went on its passage to its next life. And Chitraketu was awakened. He realized the nature of the dualities of this world. There's always pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor, happiness, distress. But through Narada Muni's association and those of the other great sages, he learned to see every situation as an opportunity to serve Krishna. That is sadhu sangha. Because sadhus represent this. They live according to this principle. They speak it and they practice it. And because they practice what they speak, it gives us faith. So he became an enlightened person. And he made a small mistake. And he was cursed by Parvati, the wife of Shiva, to become a demon. Now he's a great devotee. He's a loving servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And now he's being cursed to become a demon. And it's not like a curse from your next door neighbor in Mumbai. It's Parvati. She's sitting on the lap of Shiva as she's declaring this curse. So you know 100% it's going to happen. But he wasn't disturbed. He understood, even in that situation, Krishna will give me an opportunity to serve him. And he bowed down to Parvati. He said, actually, I didn't mean to offend your husband. I was in my own way trying to glorify him. I'm sorry if I said it wrong. But anyways, you have cursed me, so I accept this as a blessing. And now, with your permission, I will go and become a demon. When Lord Shiva, who is Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, the greatest of the devotees, when he saw this, he was praising Chitraketu. Just see, this is the nature of a true devotee of Narayan. Whether they're in heaven or hell makes no difference for them. Because in every situation they have the opportunity to serve. And their service is their happiness. And no external situation interrupts their service. That is the true spirit of Sharanagati or surrender. My Lord, how can I serve you? In whatever situation. And Srila Prabhupada, he was such an example of this principle that even young people from the West, from America, England, France, Africa, South America, all these different places, Japan, this boy in Russia, because they saw Prabhupada's example, they were inspired to do what they had no power to do on their own. They wanted to follow in his footsteps. No one wanted to imitate him. They just wanted to please him. So here she is worshiping God on the altar, and she's just praying, give me a service that I can surrender to. So Srila Prabhupada comes to London. He's sitting with Shyamasundar Prabhu. He calls for Mandakini Devi. She comes in the room. Srila Prabhupada, she told us yesterday, he had just come from Moscow. There's a young boy. Prabhupada was only with this boy for 2 or 3 days at the most. And he just gave him Krishna as much as he could get. He wasn't initiated. He didn't take any vows. He just listened while Prabhupada spoke. And the boy said, I want to help you spread this movement, but it will help me if I have a wife from a foreign country who's a devotee. Now that's not an ordinary request for a sannyasi from Vrindavan. But Prabhupada was just seeing Krishna, even in the words of this boy. And here's Mandakini, she's a French girl. French girls are famous for many things. Prabhupada, when he was in France, he said, everyone in France, when they talk, they sound like they're having romance. When he was in Germany, he said, they sound like they're shouting at each other. So, she was praying. If I get a difficult instruction, Krishna, please give me the power to say yes. You have to be careful what you pray. So Prabhupada said, I would like it if he didn't order her, he asked her, I would like it if you go to Moscow and marry this boy and help him spread Krishna consciousness behind the Iron Curtain. And she said one word. Yes. She didn't just say it. She did it. Soon she tried to learn Russian, and she was in Russia. And she didn't even know who this boy was or where he was. And she was on some tour and trying to disguise herself. And she risked her life trying to get Prabhupada's books into the country. And then this boy came up and introduced himself. And I believe there's over 100 devotees from Russia right here at this yatra today. And hundreds of thousands, not only in Russia, but everywhere in the world. Wherever I go, London, Chicago, New York, most of the people in the Hare Krishna temples, it seems, are from Russia. Everywhere. It's amazing. If she didn't say yes, perhaps none of that would have ever happened. The will to serve, making our happiness in giving Krishna happiness. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Yasya and by making Srila Prabhupada happy, that's how she made Krishna happy. And as she was speaking yesterday, she was so happy. It wasn't easy. Her life was at tremendous risk beyond our imagination. Just a girl from a foreign land, kind of all alone in Russia, doing what she was doing. And I knew Ananta Shakti, very sincere, but he was quite wild personality. And she was the only person she knew there. And if she was caught doing what she could do, she could have been imprisoned, she could have been killed. But she kept going back again and again and again. Getting new visas. It was all underground and secret. How did Srila Prabhupada inspire a young French girl to do that? By his example. Because he was teaching the path of pure devotional service, Sharanagati, and he was living it. And because he was living it, was actually our only qualification to receive it. And that is how we show our gratitude. By having that willingness to put our own personal concerns secondary and always keep it in harmony with what pleases Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. So, Mandakini Devi, thank you for that wonderful narration. There may be great scholars and pundits, but unless it brings about a transformation of this simple type of surrender of the heart, it doesn't really serve its purpose. Srila Prabhupada had that power to bring that quality out of scholars and simple ladies, the essence. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masaja. It's the conclusion of the Gita. Krishna is asking us to surrender. And the material world is a place where to do anything good is difficult. And to surrender to God is very difficult because there's so much propaganda and influence of society, of our loved ones, of technology, of our conditionings. It's trying to distract us. But if one is sincere and with humility, like Draupadi, cries out for Krishna's help, then Krishna helps us. We can only surrender. We can only have the power to surrender by God's grace. And Krishna gives that grace according yegyatamam prapadyante, according to the sincerity of how we want it and how we're willing to endure temptations, challenges, and fears. With that focus always as our goal, our aspiration.